Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the PGG Wrightson Limited half-year results. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer section. If you wish to ask a question, you need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Stephen Guerin, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Ata Mārie, good morning, and welcome to the PGG Wrightson's results briefing for 6 months to 31 December 2022. My name is Stephen Guerin, the Chief Executive Officer, and I'm pleased to provide you an overview of our interim results for the 2023 financial year. Joining me on the call today are Peter Scott, our CFO, and Julian Daly, our General Manager of Corporate Affairs, who is also our Company Secretary. Before discussing our operating results for the half year, I want to comment briefly on Cyclone Gabrielle and the scale of the impact of these weather events that is emerging. Our thoughts and wishes go out to our PGW team, clients and communities who have suffered loss during the devastating cyclonic conditions that have battered much of the North Island. The safety and well-being of all who have been affected by these extraordinary conditions has been our priority. Beyond that, we will look at ways in which PGW can support our team, clients and rural communities as they assess the impacts and move into recovery phase that follows. Despite the initial shock at the scale of the devastation, we know that the fabric of our rural communities is strong and resilient and will stand with you as these challenges are faced as we have done in the past. Now turning to our financial results, our trading performance, key themes and initiatives for the period, and I will discuss some of the thoughts on the year ahead. Then there will be time for questions and answers. During my presentation, I refer to predominantly our operating EBITDA, which is a non-GAAP measure, but allows us to best describe the business operations. I will refer also to our ultimate bottom line of net profit after tax, the formal GAAP measure. The key results of note are our operating EBITDA of $47.8 million, up $0.4 million or 0.9%. Revenue of $585.8 million, up $33.4 million or 6%. Net profit after tax or NPAT of $21.2 million, down $1.3 million or 6.4%. Total shareholder returns of plus 3.4% for the period. A fully imputed dividend of 12 cents per share has been declared by the board. A record operating EBITDA for the first half year result with strong performances from our retail businesses. Operating EBITDA guidance has been reduced for the full year to around $57 million. The half year result included new revenue and earnings highs for our retail and water group, which generates the majority of its earnings in the first half of the financial year. This was partially offset by challenges in our agency business, in particular our real estate business. The overall trading performance reflects the healthy state of the group and demonstrates the value that our customers see in the technical expertise of our people and PGW's full service offering. It is pleasing to see the results that reinforce we're strategically on the right track as a business and are perceived as leaders in the field in the sector. I'll just now start by covering trading performances for our business units, beginning with the retail and water businesses. The retail and water business incorporates rural supplies, fruit feed supplies, water and agri-trade brands. The first 6 months of the year have seen continued growth building upon the momentum we have been gathering for some time. Operating EBITDA for retail and water was $48.9 million, up $5.2 million, and revenue was $500 million, up $31 million. Excuse me. We continue to see an increase in market share with new clients moving their business to us. We regularly hear this is attributed to the superior technical ability of our people and the high level of customer service we offer. We maintain a stable sales force, which is well supported by our specialist technical and R&D teams. Our professional development program is designed to raise the sales and service performance of our frontline staff, including all store managers, customer services representatives and field representatives. The logistical issues of getting product in at the right time for the season persists, and we continue to work with our suppliers to bring in product earlier where we can to avoid delivery delays. After a record year last year, our rural supplies business has continued to trade well. Revenue is up on the prior comparative period. While some of this is related to price increases in fertiliser and agricultural chemicals, we have continued to see our market share grow. It has been a frustrating season for many, with wet conditions and little respite over the three-month critical spring growing window. Given the tough season through December for most of the country, with continued rain, cooler temperatures and localised flooding, the team have done exceptionally well despite COVID-19 absentees, staff shortages and supply chain issues. Our rural supplies brand campaign aims to communicate our store teams and technical field representatives' passion for helping our clients and local communities under the tagline, working alongside you every season of the year. The campaign portrays the way stores and those in the field work closely with our clients. We are an integral part of our local communities we live and operate in. Our people go the extra mile to help our farmers meet their aspirations combined with their technical knowledge delivery on value on farm. Our fruit feed supplies business has also had a strong first 6 months of the financial year and continues to grow and set new benchmarks. This has not been without its challenges as the season has influenced by climatic conditions. With extremely wet in the North Island, which hampers spring crop and ability of our clients to work their properties. The unseasonably heavy frost in October caused significant damage to the wider Bay of Plenty and Waikato regions and impacted kiwi fruit and blueberry crops. Wet weather in December also impacted vegetable crops, making harvesting difficult. Growth in the horticultural sector continues and we are seeing new investments over the last few years now coming into production. A large corporate client base continues to grow, and these clients often seek out a full year's program of crop protection and nutritional requirements with the establishment of long-term supplier agreements with PGW. Returns in some sectors have been challenging in the second half of the 2022 calendar year. Both apple and kiwi fruit industries have experienced reduced returns through price drops and fruit quality issues. Fruit Feed Supplies won the Indevin Villa Maria Legends Supplier Award at their annual prize giving. It's encouraging to receive this recognition from a prominent industry participant who values our people and their excellent service through a difficult season. Our water and irrigation business continues to consolidate market share through new clients and repeat custom. The team are focused on enhancing the customer experience through all front-end parts of our business. This has helped in capturing in-field service opportunities through identifying system upgrades and offering these advanced benefits to our clients, such as pivot panel upgrades, enabling client mobility and overview of remote farming irrigation systems. Supply chain issues continue throughout the period, with most irrigation equipment sourced from offshore, whether during the period hindered some scheduled maintenance work. Agritrade, our wholesale business division, celebrated its 10th year anniversary in September 22. Given Agritrade's size and strong growth, this milestone presented the opportunity to review the structure of the business with a reset and refocus to enable future profitable growth. Agritrade increased its revenue compared to the prior period as sales for some lines of product occurred later in the season due to the delay and cool start to the growing season. I now want to turn and talk about the trading performances of our agency businesses. Our agency business includes livestock, wool and real estate. Agency delivered an operating EBITDA of $3.6 million for the first 6 months of the 2023 financial year, a reduction of $3.8 million compared for the same period last year. Revenue was $84.7 million, up $2.4 million compared to the prior period, influenced by the mix of sales versus commission revenue. The first 6 months of trading has been impacted adversely by weather, coupled with overseas market uncertainty resulting in reduced meat schedules. The meat schedule suffered with a drop in sheep and lamb felt most keenly. There was a reduction in processing capacity caused by processing delays in the meat companies. Overall, there was a drop in volumes of stock traded. Both volumes enjoyed a good spring growing season with animals held on farm longer, creating stronger demand for prices for cattle. Beef prices held up well and volumes were on plan. Exceptional grass growth throughout most regions of the country saw large amounts of supplementary feed being made. Our livestock supply chain initiatives and strategy progressed over the first 6 months of the financial year, with some new initiatives added to our existing strong valued partnerships. During the period, GoStock celebrated two significant milestones, with 2 million lambs purchased on GoLamb contracts and 300,000 cattle procured through the GoStock beef launch. Since launch, farm awareness and use of the GoStock has continued to grow and assisting sheep and beef and dairy and deer clients, assisting sheep, beef, dairy and deer clients with their cash flow management needs. GoStock enables them to free up capital to invest in other areas of the business. Bidder, which is now launched at sale yard product in 2021, are now live streaming auctions from 8 sale yards throughout the North Island. We have seen further uptake in our hybrid genetics, sale yard and on-farm machinery sales. Continued growth in dairy markets saw Bidder utilised for a number of in-milk sales in September, October, with strong sales bookings in the second half of the 2023 financial year. These have contributed to an increase in account sign-ups and website traffic. PGW deer velvet sales made earlier in the season and strong pricing on the back of contractor demand with overseas buyers, particularly contracts for Super A velvet, destined for South Korea's growing health food sector. Growers benefited from these contracts, countered the weakness of the Chinese deer velvet market beset by pandemic disruptions. Demand for these elevated prices have driven up supply volumes to PGW velvet. Consequently, confidence among farmers helped raise the stakes at stag sales held in January 2023. PGW's Young Talented Livestock Auctioneers achieved a trifecta by winning first, second and third in the 11th Annual Auctioneers Competition at the Canterbury Park in November 2022. Fallout from the COVID pandemic continues to challenge the strong wool industry, especially values and associated worldwide demand. Growers encountered increasing costs on the back of falling cross-bred wool prices. The Merino season has been supported by good value contracts with brand partners and robust fine wool auction prices. Growth in our wool contract business supports our grower client base with contracts delivering premiums over market prices. PGW has achieved share growth in the New Zealand Merino wool market. International travel has returned with several of our large overseas customers visiting New Zealand. It has been beneficial to renew contact and highlight the quality of wool our growers produce through visits to our farmer clients. PGW's wool export business, Block & Behrens, has done a good job of negotiating with overseas customers and local growers to ensure contracted obligations have been fulfilled. The Block & Behrens team have again been able to visit customers overseas with more trips planned for later this financial year. By working directly with retail brands both nationally and internationally, the team continues to build key relationships to support our grower clients. The volume of bales procured and sold were on par with the same period last year. The farm property sales continue with the sheep and beef sector with a large number of high-value sales in excess of $20 million. Dairy sales improved during the first 6 months of the financial year. However, there was not as many higher value sales traditionally supported but through corporate activity. Residential and lifestyle sales experienced a significant slowdown throughout all markets. The real estate market was impacted by a general negative sentiment owing to rising interest rates and decline in property demand and sales, mismatch of vendor purchase expectations, shrinking buyer pool and a raft of regulatory challenges coming to the rural sector. As a result, earnings from our real estate business were significantly back from the buoyant market seen in recent years, and this explains the majority of the reduction in the earnings for the agency operating segment. We relaunched and refreshed the PGW real estate website, which has a modern design and allows out easy accessibility and navigation around listings, articles and more on the site. In addition, it gives us more flexibility to grow and develop features and functionality in the future, ensuring that we remain competitive and meet the changing needs of our target market. PGW Real Estate increases footprint in the Wairarapa and Central Hawke's Bay through several real estate business acquisitions. Turning to cash flow and debt. Cash flow from operating activities saw a $35 million outflow, This compared to a $70 million operating cash flow outflow for the prior comparative period. Working capital balances built during the spring were consistent with the seasonal build in prior years. However, compared to the prior comparative period, these were higher as a result of supply chain challenges and price increases. We grew our GO stock grazing receivable by $7.2 million versus the prior comparative period. We increased our banking facility limits by $30 million to provide prudent headroom and to also fund potential growth opportunities. Capital expenditure was $6.2 million, an increase of $4.6 million versus 31 December 2021, which includes investment in our business improvement program, which we will discuss further below. In addition, the group made higher income tax payments as a result of strong FY22 financial performance. As a result, net interest-bearing debt was up $48.6 million compared to 31 December 2021 at $95.5 million. In response to the positive earnings performance delivered during the first 6 months of the financial year, the board declared a fully imputed interim dividend of 12 cents per share, which will be paid on 4 April 2023 to shareholders on PGW share register at 5 p.m. on the 27th of March 2023. A total shareholder return for the 6 months to 31 December 2022 was plus 3.4%. A full-year strategic total shareholder return target is plus 10% per annum. Total shareholder return is calculated based on the movement in share price during 6 months to 31 December 2022 plus dividend, cents per share, paid divided by the opening share price. As a business, we seek to continuously improve the safety and well-being of our people, and we are currently embedding a revitalised strategy to support safety improvements. With the guidance of our people, we have started redeveloping a critical risk program, establishing regular toolbox talk to share key topics and learnings, re-energising our contractor management, and introducing an executive leadership safety award to acknowledge those going above and beyond to improve health and safety and well-being at PGW. Our Wellbeing Action Group undertook a survey of our people to better understand what wellbeing means to them and what they want from wellbeing programme. With a revised learning and development strategy and resourcing, we continue to invest in our people through multiple skills and leadership-based programmes to foster the strength of our internal pipeline of talent. During the period, we launched and refreshed our Max Rewards loyalty programme, as well as a brand new look at our clients, have an enhanced shopping experience, membership tiers, and access to wider member benefits as part of the program. Max Rewards members have shared their appreciation for having the ability to earn points and receive benefits as they spend with PGW, and they've been pleasantly surprised by the extent of their catalogue range. As a result of the Max Rewards program, customers are expected to increase their spend and transactions across a wider range of business units and improve the customer lifetime value. With the first half of the financial year being the busiest time of the year, for our retail teams, the program was launched with a slow and steady approach, with further membership drive planned later this year. Following the materiality assessment undertaken last year, we have been engaging across the business to redefine our sustainability strategy. These workshops have continued to contribute to the creation of a sustainability strategy reporting framework across three pillars of environment, social and governance, or ESG. ESG Working Group reviewed the United Nations Sustainability Goals, or SDGSs, to determine which SDGSs have the most relevance to our corporate strategy, sustainability strategy and materiality assessment. This work is continuing as we determine the actions, targets and metrics to measure our progress on achieving the SDGs is most relevant to our operations. We continued with the implementation of significant investment, both operating expenditure and capital expenditure components, to our company-wide business improvement program to simplify PGW's IT systems. Internally, we know this is Project Solstice. This program will simplify our technical IT environment and standardise business processes. We expect the program to go live in FY24. As we think about the outlook for the financial year to 30 June 2023, we do so with the benefit of a stronger trading performance over the first half, with PGW well positioned to capitalise upon the opportunities ahead. While noting the extraordinary good 2022 financial year, we hold a degree of caution looking forward to the remainder of the financial year given the volatility in the macro operating environment. New Zealand farmers and growers are currently facing a range of uncertainties and headwinds. Two recent rural confidence surveys conducted prior to Cyclone Gabrielle have reported farmer confidence levels at some of their lowest sentiment levels since the surveys began. Our clients are experiencing an environment with rising interest rates, tightening credit, increased input costs, labour shortages and supply chain disruption. An uncertain geopolitical and domestic regulatory landscape and adverse weather events, including the extraordinary impacts of Cyclone Gabrielle that have hit the agricultural and horticultural sectors hard over the large parts of the country. The full effects of these dynamics are yet to be assessed. Despite these uncertainties and reasons for caution, we also see plenty of positive fundamentals in the medium to longer term outlook for agriculture and horticulture. PGW is also very well placed to support the sector through its challenges and opportunities that will come. COVID-19 restrictions have been lifted and borders have reopened. Supply chain disruptions should ease, and it's anticipated that inflation will come off its peaks during the course of this year. Demand for New Zealand's primary exports will remain through all these challenges. The primary sector has performed well, and PGW's board is pleased with how PGW has traded. There are strengths and diversity of the PGW's portfolio of its businesses and the way in which the business is executing on its strategy. On balance, PGW's board's outlook remains cautious. We see some softening based upon the macro factors outlined and accordingly recalibrated our forecast operating EBITDA guidance for the financial year to 30 June 2023 to around $57 million. These results would not have been achieved without the dedicated team of passionate people who have supported each other throughout the year and the challenging conditions in which we've operated. On behalf of the board and executive team, we thank our team for living our values and providing exceptional service to our clients and for making a positive contribution to the rural communities in which we live and operate. We thank our team for existing law and new clients who have put their trust in us. We strive to go the extra mile to ensure the success of our clients' businesses. We appreciate the support of our suppliers who have worked with us to ensure our clients received their orders on in a timely manner. We acknowledge our shareholders and we are committed to achieving our strategic priorities to deliver value on your investments. Our 2023 half-year report is available on the Indian Stock Exchange website under the PGW ticker and also on our PGW website. That brings to conclusion the formality of our presentation and I open the call for questions. Thank you, operator. Back in your hands.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for a name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Christian Bell from Jarden. Please go ahead.
Good morning, team. Just a few questions from me. My first one is related to the guidance, the new guidance. So it's just your initial guidance was around 62 mil with some cautious optimism. Obviously, it's come down to 57. Can you just sort of provide some colour as to what has actually driven the downgrade? Like, are you able to sort of explain the split from the original guidance between retail and water and agency and what the new split is, just to give an idea of where the weakness is predominantly coming from?
Yeah, Christian, it's Peter here. So the majority of the weakness, you're right, is in agency. And really it's specifically in real estate, you know, pretty well-publicised sort of market in the real estate, especially in residential and lifestyle blocks. The other one is actually in livestock, so sheep meat prices, as Stephen mentioned, have been falling over the last few months. So the livestock performance over December and January, was impacted by those falls in commodity prices for sheep. So I'd say that the retail and water business is pretty much similar to what it was, reasonably similar to what it was, but the agency businesses we're expecting to be back by 30 June.
So, I mean, given that retail and water is kind of the primary growth driver anyway, I mean, it's probably quite a good outcome given the circumstances.
I'll agree with that, Christian. Just to give you some context, Christian, sheep prices are back about 80% year on year. So just to repeat that, sheep prices are back about 80% year on year. That's the market price. So we're operating in an agency model, so we just reflect the movement, reflects, in our earn as well. Cattle prices remain pretty steady. And then there's been those constraints in the volume that's been passing through the network because of good grass growth. We only transact get revenue earned when the animals move, either move between farm or move between farm and processors.
Right, yep.
And Christian, remember too that retail and water specifically retail and fruit food supplies is a lot of the first half of the year financial story. The second half is quite dependent on agency results, and things like our forward sales are similar to previous years for dairy herds and that, but they are not they're not at the sort of the really extremes that we had say last year. So that's all impacting on our revised.
There is a third factor, of course, Christian. It's the impact of Cyclone Gabriel and caution there. We're right in harvest mode. You've seen the pictures as well coming out of the Hawke's Bay with apple trees, up to their waist, so to speak, in water. And what impact is that on our business? And that's really a live assessment. There's a lot of unknowns in that space. So.
That sort of leads me to the second question. The impact of the cyclone, and obviously it sort of unfortunately wiped out a significant part of the horticulture industry in Hawke's Bay, at least for now. How do you sort of think about that going forward? Do you benefit from the rebuild, or are you sort of a bit more, or are you worried about the industry sort of fully recovering from this, or how are you kind of thinking about the more medium term outlook for horticulture as a result of the cyclone?
We're cautious, Christian. To re-establish an orchard, you're talking about a 4-year turnaround. By the time they have infrastructure. Now, sheep and beef property, where it loses a fence line, it can replace those pretty quickly. Orchards are a lot more time-consuming to re-establish, getting infrastructure in place, getting rootstock for vines or apple trees, and then getting those trees planted and into ground and away in production. As soon as they're planted, of course, we start to earn from our clients. It is really too early because some of these areas may not be replanted. But there is, we have seen over the last few years longer term commitment and growth in the horticultural sector. So I'm an optimist. I've been doing this a wee while. The industry will reset, we have a good client base there that is well committed to the industry, and they will reset their business, but it could take the next year or so. Given that the right in harvest is going to be a bit of an assessment, but longer term we have a higher degree of confidence. But we are cautious over the next year or so around what it might look like for us.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, because I guess the second half of $9 million of EBITDA is a relatively weak run rate compared to where you've been the last couple of years going into next year. So I imagine all things considered, I guess it's probably likely that you would be planning for a result in FY24 that could be potentially weaker than this year.
We're just working through that now, Christian. We're just working through that process now. But having said that, we are seeing further development in other areas around the country, of course. There is still ongoing investment and good demand for land and redevelopments in both Canterbury and Marlborough and around horticulture and in central Otago. So, there are other areas that continue to grow.
I guess the case for a significantly for significant growth going into or getting back to the $67 million EBITDA level next year. I mean, it looks like it's quite hard.
It will be challenging. That's right.
Okay. Cool. In the agency business. For this year, first half 23, the revenue was up, but earnings were down. Can we basically attribute that to a mix impact because the real estate agents, the real estate business is higher margin than the lifestyle?
Christian, that's right. It actually, all the real estate business is on a commission basis, whereas the mix, some of the products that we do in livestock, such as deer velvet, some of those are what we do on principal rather than on just on commissions.
Yeah, okay.
But it is that mix between the livestock and...
Basically between livestock and real estate.
Sweet. And then I just have one more question. The outlook, commodity prices have obviously come back a bit in the last few months, but I guess the global kind of growth outlook has slightly improved to start the year. But at the same time, costs have just continued to increase more and more. Are you kind of getting to a point where that PGW has to start eating margins, or is it more likely that your margins will sort of hold, but it's more going to be a sales-led decline in growth? Guess what I'm trying to say? What's the more likely scenario? A margin-led sort of downturn in growth or a sales-led?
So you're quite right. I'll just deal with the question in different parts. Hopefully answer it fully, Christian. You're right. We have seen the commodity prices soften. That's both through horticulture, crops. We mentioned apples and kiwi fruits. And sheep. There's probably really early indications over the last week or so that lamb might be moving up a wee bit. So we're encouraged by that, but it is very early signs. And that's due to the reopening of particularly the Chinese market. The commodity prices have risen, you're quite right, although we are starting to see a wee bit of softening on some products, particularly in the fertiliser space. There is still some future price rises to come, we believe, based on what we're hearing, particularly products that are coming out of Europe because of some of the power challenges there. Our margins have been relatively stable. If you look through the results when you get to the detail, you'll see that our margins are relatively stable. And that tells that we've been, to me, and the feedback we're getting from the field says that our clients value the expertise that we're getting versus some of our competitors. So they are prepared to pay for the product because we have the technical expertise, the volume of crop that they are getting, et cetera, the quality of crop, it makes that investment worthwhile. So, We're quite pleased we're able to hold up our margins and with those commodity price rises declining and from a returns perspective clients and input costs rising.
Cool. That was it from me. So thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will now pause for a brief moment for further questions to be registered. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Gurin for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. It's a beautiful day here in Christchurch, where I'm calling from, some 30-odd degrees. I'm very conscious that we have colleagues and communities in the Hawke's Bay, East Coast of Northland, that are struggling right at the moment. Our thoughts go out to them and our team that are supporting them. Thank you for listening to our results for the half year, and we'll talk to you again in August. So thank you all.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.